A number of years ago, when The Passion of the Christ came out, the movie in the theaters, we went to see it and had a group from the church go. And I remember being there and seeing the film. And if you haven't seen it, it's about the Passion of the Christ, that last hours of his life, beginning in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he took all of our sins upon him, and his sweat was like drops of blood. And then it just goes on through and just shows all of his suffering for us and what he went through. And at the end of the movie, I remember coming out and somebody that we were with, I don't even remember who it was, but they made this comment about Barabbas and how we're like Barabbas. And I had never really thought about that, and I started thinking about it, and I was like, whoa, that's pretty neat, you know, when you think about that. And it came back as we came to, as you all know, we've been going through the book of John, and as we came to John chapter 18, that stood out to me again about the commonality that we have with Barabbas, how much we have in common with Barabbas, how much you have in common with Barabbas and me as well. So let's look tonight at John chapter 18, verses 28 to 40. You can go ahead and be turning there. And let's let Pilate and the Jews and Jesus and Barabbas disciple us tonight. Let's let, of course, God, the Holy Spirit, disciple us, but let's let Him use all these people that He has here to teach us tonight, to disciple us. And so the title of this message is, You and Barabbas Have a Lot in Common. Let's look at it. John 18, 28 to 40. God's Word tells us this. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early in the morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, What charges are you bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate said, Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone, the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea? Jesus asked. Or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Pilate asked. With this he went out to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, No, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now, Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, thank you for this time of discipleship. Lord, get me out of the way. Lord, we want to be discipled by you. Speak to us, teach us, grow us in you, Jesus, and then send us out. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing that we see here, the first point I want to make is, where are you leading Jesus? Think about that. Where are you leading Jesus? Look at verse 28. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early in the morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, The Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So the Jews had Jesus and they were leading him where they wanted to go, weren't they? Well, where are you leading Jesus? You know, as a believer, he's with you, isn't he? Everywhere you go, everything you do, he's always with you. As a believer, he lives on the inside of you. He dwells in you. The Lord Jesus, this same Jesus Christ that we see, that they were leading around, leading to the palace, the same one is in you, in you, in you. He's in you, the same Christ. He lives in you. So he's with you. He is with you wherever you go. So think about it. As a believer, with him being in you, where you go and what you do is where he goes. And it's what he does. He's always with you. Where are you leading Jesus? You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, God tells us. That he comes to live on the inside of you, that he dwells in you. Well, you know, in the Old Testament time of the temple, you know, God's presence dwelled in that Holy of Holies behind that curtain in the Ark of the Covenant. God's presence, he was right there dwelling in that temple. And you couldn't get too close to it. You couldn't approach even the high priest once a year trying to get close enough. That was a dangerous thing. Right there in the presence of God. And now today, God says, now there's mobile temples. Now they would gather at the temple for worship and guidance, and now you are a portable center for worship. Isn't that right, Chris? You are a portable center for worship. Now wherever you go, that you're taking the temple with you. And you can receive God's guidance. They go there for guidance and worship. You can receive God's guidance and worship anywhere you go. You're the temple. He dwells in you. Now he dwells in you. And so he lives in you. Where are you leading Jesus? Where are you going? Where do you go? What do you do? What are you taking him to do? If we get tempted and we get some idea that Satan tries to deceive us with, or our own flesh tempts us, and we get some evil desire, some idea, whatever it is, the world, some of its teaching, we get tempted to believe it, whatever it is. Jesus doesn't leave us at that time and let us go do that thing and come back when you get done with that sin or whatever it is. No, he's always with us. You're the temple. So where are you taking him? What are you taking him to do? What am I taking him to do? Where am I taking him? Now, the good news is you've got a choice. And you've got a choice of where you take him. But the better news is you've got a choice to let him lead. You don't have to take him anywhere. That's not God's way anyway. He lives in you. And God's way is to let him lead. So the true question needs to be, where's he leading you tonight? That's what matters. We got it backwards if we're leading him anywhere anyway. But where's he leading you? And that's our choice. We can let him lead. And that's his plan. That's his way. So where are you leading Jesus? First of all, we see that in this passage. And next we see this in our passage for tonight. You can't get rid of him, and only fools try. You can't get rid of him. Only fools try. We see that in verse 29 to 32. Look at it. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. What were they trying to do? They didn't like his authority. They didn't want him over them. They didn't like it a bit, so they were going to get rid of him. Let's get rid of him. They bring him to this trial. Pilate says, you take him yourself, judging by your own law, and then we have no right to execute anyone. That's what they had in mind. That's what they want to do. Let's get rid of him. Kill him. Let's execute him. But you can't get rid of him, and only fools try. You know, I was just looking at this and just thinking through some of this and thinking through this passage and thinking about people in their lives just denying God, you know, just saying, oh, you know, get rid of him, you know. And you know, in our world, a lot of our world's teachings, oh, you know, let's get rid of him, get him out of the schools, get him out of public life. And you know, as you think about it, it seems like this is maybe some of the thought process in some of that. You think about somebody just wanting to get rid of him, wanting him out of their life. And maybe we would say to that person, so you don't like the accountability. You don't like having God over you. Jesus claimed to be God. And so maybe that's the issue. Maybe that's the main issue. You know, people claim to be an atheist. I just don't believe. Well, maybe that's the issue. They don't like having somebody over them. They don't like having a God over them. They don't want that authority over them. And the truth is, a lot of times people want to be their own God. You want it your way. You want to be your own God. You know, it's kind of like the Sinatra song, I Did It My Way. You know, Frank Sinatra, that beautiful voice. But the message of that song, I did it my way. It's my way. And you know, maybe that's the issue. Maybe that's the issue for people that try to get rid of him. People that say, oh, he doesn't exist. People who say, oh, I'm an atheist. Well, they don't want that authority, and so they want it their way. I want it my way. I don't want somebody telling me what to do. I don't want to believe in God, because then I have to submit to him. Then he's my authority. And you know, this is the age-old deception. This is the age-old desire that Lucifer had long ago. This angel, Lucifer, he had this desire. Oh, I want to be like God. I want it my way. I don't want God over me. I want to be like God. I want to call the shots. And then what happened? This angel fell from heaven, the fallen angel, and now his name's Satan. And that was his mistake. That was what he wanted. He wanted to be like God. He didn't want that authority. He wanted it his way. But you know, somebody thinking along those lines, just kind of thinking with them. You know, imagine you being a person thinking like that. And then you might say, but then, you know, maybe I don't believe in him, and I just say, well, he doesn't exist. But then I still have this guilt and these feelings. Even though I don't want him over me, I still have this guilt, and there's this gnawing feeling inside that something's wrong, that I've done wrong, and there's some kind of accountability. And maybe I don't know who that accountability is to, because I don't want Jesus and I don't want God. But there's something, there's this guilt that goes on. And so maybe this person thinks, so if I can't get rid of him, or maybe this person thinks, so if I can get rid of him, maybe I won't feel so bad. I'll choose not to believe in him, and I'll say that he doesn't exist. I'll say that there's not enough evidence out there. That's why I don't believe. That'll be my excuse. And then, when all that occurs, what'll happen is then God will say, I'm a fool. God will call me a fool. We know that from Scripture, that God says, The fool says in his heart that there is no God. And so, you can't get rid of him, and only fools try. Well, another thing that we notice in this passage is always be helping others find the truth. We should always be helping others find the truth. We see in verses 33 through 38 that Jesus seems concerned about Pilate. He knows that he's on trial. He's about to face this horrible death. He knows what he's about to go through. And yet, it seems like he's thinking about others. It seems like he's concerned about Pilate. And we see it. Look at verses 33 through 38. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It is your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you've done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. He went on after that. But we can learn from Jesus here to always be helping others find the truth. You know, usually when you're in pain or you're going through a tough time or you're really worried or you're concerned about something or you got a lot on you, a lot of times, those are the times we're really tempted to get self-focused, to be thinking about ourselves, to be trying to make it. But that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. He's about to go through all this, and you can see that he's thinking about Pilate here. You can see that he's concerned for Pilate, and he's asking him these questions. He's getting Pilate to think. "Is that your own idea? You know, Pilate, are you interested in me, or have others talked to you about me?" And then he starts talking about truth. "Everybody who listens to me is on the side of truth." What's he doing? He's loving Pilate. He's reaching out to Pilate. He's witnessing to Pilate in regard to himself. We see it again when you see Jesus' amazing love right here, of course, as he's concerned about Pilate. But then also, you see it when he's dying on the cross. You remember, we'll probably look at this in a couple more weeks, but you remember when Jesus was up there in the worst possible pain and agony, just the physical pain. If you've never heard a medical interpretation of just the pain and the suffering that somebody would go through in a crucifixion, just the physical pain itself is just unreal. Not to mention the other whole levels of pain that Jesus had. The emotional pain, the pain of abandonment, the pain of guilt, the pain of enduring the wrath of God. You know, all this pain. And Jesus is going through all of that. Wouldn't you think, maybe he would just be trying to make it. Maybe he would just be focused on getting over this pain and just on himself a little bit. But no, you remember what he did from the cross in all that pain and all that agony? He looked out and saw his mother, and he saw the one he loved, his disciple John. And he said, "Woman, this is your son. And John, this is your mother." He was just looking out for them, thinking about them, loving on them when he's going through all of that. Always be helping others find the truth. See, when we're going through something really rough and we're in a lot of pain, it's easy for us to kind of step back a little bit in and say, "Well, you know, I don't have time to witness to anybody right now or do anything. I'm just focused on this." But that's not Jesus' way, is it? No matter what we're going through, always be helping others find the truth. In the good times, always be helping others find the truth. In the bad times, always be helping others find the truth all the time. Well, next, and finally, we notice that you and Barabbas have a lot in common. Now, here it comes. You and Barabbas have a lot in common. Look at verse 39 and 40. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. And we know he was a murderer. He was guilty of murder. And so he was going to get his punishment. He was going to get what he deserved. But here was an opportunity. Somebody could go free. Somebody could go free. Now, we've got a prisoner here, Barabbas, who's guilty, and he's getting what he deserves. And there's a choice. He could go free, or there's this one that's completely innocent, hadn't done anything, had done absolutely nothing wrong, and or he could go free. And the choice is made. And the one that's guilty and should be facing their punishment, he got to go free. And the one that's innocent and shouldn't have to do anything, he willingly goes and takes the punishment. You see it? You have a lot in common with Barabbas, don't you? And I do too. I'm guilty of sin. You are too. But somebody else is taking our punishment. Somebody gets to go free because of God's grace, because of His mercy. Somebody gets to go free. And who is it? It's not the one it should be. Jesus. I should die and go to hell. He'd be eternally separated from God and burn, be in everlasting torment. For all I've done wrong and continue to do, messing up, breaking God's law. But, and it's the same for you. But somebody gets to go free. You're guilty, and yet you're just like Barabbas. You get to walk on out. You get to walk straight out and say, I'm free. I'm free. I did all that stuff. I was wrong. I sinned. I messed up. And I'm sorry for it. But I get to go free. But then you look back, and it's because somebody's dying for me. Jesus is in my place, and He had to stay, and He had to go through it, and He went to the cross, and He took your punishment. And now all we can do is just be forever grateful and just say, Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? How can I serve you? What do you want me to do? I give you my life. I'm yours, Lord. You gave your life for me. I give my life to you daily, Lord. I'll die daily. I'll do what you said. If anybody would come after me, he must deny himself, cease to exist. That's what it means. He must deny himself. There's me, gone, and take up his cross. Let me just die to myself, Lord. I just want to live for you, Jesus. You did that for me. You took my place. He must deny himself and take up his cross daily. We got to do it every day, don't we? Sometimes we got to do it multiple times a day. Sometimes you're going through the day and you just step back and you say, whoa, you know, I'm doing everything. I'm calling all the shots here. I'm going my own way, doing my own thing. I don't even know what the Lord wants me to. I haven't even talked to Him. And we got to do it daily, and sometimes more than daily. Just get back to that place. Oh, Lord, You're Lord. I'm just here. What's the task today, Lord? What do you want me to accomplish today? I thank you that I'm a part of your kingdom. What work do you have for this servant today, Lord? I'm yours. Thank you. Thank you that you set me free. Thank you that you died in my place. And what can I do for you? How can I serve you, Lord? And that is it. And so be free. You are free. Be free. Live free. He was condemned for you. He, the word condemned means found guilty and sentenced to punishment. He was condemned for you. So be free. Live free. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Live the rest of your life for Him. And my goodness, let's go tell some other people about it. You know, what if there was this epidemic and the whole world was dying rapidly of this disease? Have y'all ever seen any of those movies? You know, every now and then a movie will come out. There was just one, I can't remember the name of it, but, you know, and there's an epidemic that happens and some rare disease comes on the scene and a few people in Ireland get it or something, and somehow somebody flies to the United States and then somebody in the United States catches it. And then it's a rapidly advancing virus, and it's just wiping people out. And you know, we've had these epidemics, of course. You know, the Black Plague, and you know all these things. But imagine just a major one happening right here in these days, and just people are just dying left and right, and nobody knows the cure. And I mean, it looks like the human population, in a matter of time, we won't exist anymore. And then all of a sudden, somehow you find the cure. Somehow you find out what the cure is. And you've got it. What would you do? And there are people dying all around you. I think you would probably be sharing that with a lot of people. I think you'd find everybody you could and say, hey, here's the cure. Watch this. Try this. Do this. Do this. And yet we've got the cure, don't we? The world is dying. There is an epidemic. It's called sin. And the result is death and hell for every human being it touches. And that's an epidemic, and that's everybody, isn't it? And it's spreading. Yeah, but you've got the cure. You've been set free. You've got the cure. We just need to share it, don't we? We need to share it. Well, let's gather together in prayer, and let's hold hands, and we'll pray together right here at the end. And if God has laid something on your heart tonight, maybe He's spoken something to you through His Word tonight. Maybe it's for all of us. Maybe the Holy Spirit would want us all to hear it. So if He's speaking to you in some way, maybe you need to share it with all of us. Or maybe there's something He's doing in your life that you want to share with us. But let's gather together. And if anybody has anything to share, you share it. And we'll pray together and let Chris close us out how he wants to.